Mini episode 672 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by First Down Scouting, delivering the most thorough scouting service available, uncovering the NFL stars of tomorrow. Follow them on the web at the number one, stdownscouting.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Okay, up next in the lounge here, going through Pantheon 9, Scientific Discovery, and Saturday Night Live regular here with the crew to break it all down. Going through for Scientific Discovery, we have actually an overwhelming winner in this category in terms of how this shook out. We're first going to go through the ones that did not factor into this, but we have a winner. We always designate the Pantheon within the Pantheon if anybody clears 50%. And as we've covered previously, it is very, very, very hard to do that. But that was accomplished this time around here. The outlier votes. Ben Chu voting for Water on Mars, the discovery of water on Mars. John Adams, who we had for some of our earlier votes, but not for this one. John had a half vote apiece for the discovery of Darwin's theory of evolution and also for antibiotics, a very disparate combo, but John voted half for each of those. Ron Glasnap voting for the computer chip. Tim Faust, original FDH Lounge dignitary, voting for, as I will bungle the pronunciation of this, Copernicus heliocentric model. Close enough. But
that's a great pick. That was almost mine.
Okay.
But I went a little bit further. I went a little bit further back.
You
if
did.
You will.
You did.
You will.
And why don't you talk about that? Agriculture.
I went with agriculture, and I debated actually between that and early man's creation of tools.
Okay.
Because the creation of tools, even though they were rudimentary, stone, flint, spearheads, it allowed our diet change.
Mm-hmm.
It allowed for us to access proteins that we weren't able to, which actually for Homo sapiens resulted in larger brains and larger bodies and longer life.
Mm-hmm.
Than what we had been only eating fruits and nuts earlier. So the tools allowing us to get through animal flesh and to be able to hunt,
okay,
was a big game changer.
Yeah.
Now I went with agriculture, which you go forward a little bit further in time. Early man, hunter gatherers for hundreds of thousands of years, and eventually in the Mesopotamia area, at least potentially also in Asia at the same time. But certainly in that area, early agriculture was discovered, the idea of planting seeds, cultivating it, and it did a couple of things that made us stop being nomads.
Mm-hmm.
We settled down, which then led to villages, stationary, livestock. You grew crops, you fed, you had a more consistent level of sustenance that you were able to provide your kin, your family, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And able to provide for yourself, so that you took out sort of the ebb and flow of the harsh realities of hunting and gathering, where there could be famine and things of that nature, which allowed us to then transform as a society, cities, and which eventually led to everything else. So without agriculture, we're still running around, picking berries and hunting rabbits, but we're not we're moving with tents and nomads, and we're not planting. It also changed our diet, obviously, from one of more based on grains, which some would argue has probably not been good. But agriculture got my vote for that reason, because that was a big game changer.
I do got to say I like your thing on tools, though, because without tools, we couldn't even have agriculture.
That's exactly right. And
that's
And why I came down on agriculture, because tools became, in my mind, more. I came back to scientific discovery, and I thought, well, was there a science between some early man figure taking a rock and, bashing a rabbit's head open and eating its brain for the high protein and going, oh, look, I can do this, more of this. Was that a scientific discovery? Was there scientific process involved? Not really. Agriculture, at least, maybe not by the truest definition of a scientific process. Somebody planted seeds, saw what they did, they observed. They observed what happened when seeds were in the ground, and then they tried to replicate it through trial and error. That's the scientific process, so that's why agriculture won out.
This is an amazingly elastic category because you can make a number of different arguments for this. You didn't even mention the likes of Cheech and Chong, who I'm sure would be cheerleading for agriculture. I mean, that's another one as well. I mean, there's a lot of fans of agriculture out there, Chris. They come in all shapes and sizes.
You didn't know I was that green, did you?
Yeah, I did not know that. So, okay, that's a good argument. We have other ones here. Dave Adams voting for space travel. And the only other individual vote that there was here before we get to the massive overwhelming winner, this is a very noteworthy one, and particularly all of us denizens of the state of Ohio here. And as much as those little pompous chodes down in North Carolina try to claim otherwise, Ohio is the home of flight, Tony. Down, of course, in the Dayton area there. And so your vote of flight certainly celebrates a part of our state's heritage.
That's right. Screw you, Kitty Hawk.
I only had wind.
Yeah.
I didn't really have much reasoning. I think the reason I did is because I knew everybody was going to, or most people are going to pick electricity.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. All I know is I got from Cleveland, Ohio to San Diego, California last year in about 4.5 hours, and I was very happy, and I did not complain about the bad Wi-Fi. So I can go, okay, well, that's my only reasoning.
Who does the routine on that? Is it Louis C.K.?
Yeah,
that
it's Louis C.K. That everything is great and nobody's happy.
Yeah, because when people would head from one coast to the other, like half of them would die and, you know, take months.
It's a great bit that
yes.
he does there. Most of his are really good, though.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a compelling case, too. But the winner in this one, 13 votes out of 22, it's the Pantheon within the Pantheon for this one here, electricity. That was one that I voted for along with the Patrons. I wanted to flesh out their votes because theirs was something that was like electricity / light bulb. And I was like, how literal are we getting here, guys? Do you literally mean the light bulb or do you mean the bigger thing of electricity? Because
we gotta have specific products. Like, mine's the fleshlight. I'm a big fan of the fleshlight.
A great invention.
On that note, I'm just not going to say anything.
Yeah. That's a mic drop moment if ever there was
Absolutely.
One. Yeah. But, again, I mean, I don't know about your thought process on this, Anthony, but for me it was like this is what everything else comes from as far as modern-day stuff. I mean, Chris is right. You can go further back, agriculture, tools, whatever. But if you're looking at modern-day stuff and, you know, all of us have our iPhones and our tablets and what have you, and, hey, the stuff we're recording this on here today, this is all made possible by electricity.
You can go back to so many, and everything that's out there, there's been a lot of great things to make our lives easier, but electricity wins it, I gotta say. And be careful giving the Dundee to electricity, especially if that thing conducts current. Might hurt just a little bit.
It's been grounded, don't worry about it. But it's a worthy winner, Matthew, I think, definitely.
Electricity is just one of them things that a lot of people actually take for granted nowadays, because it's been around so long, yes, but life would be so much harder without it.
Notice that we're not attributing it here to anybody specifically. We're just saying electricity. Now, my dad tried to argue with me. People are going to say Edison, but didn't Ben Franklin really kind of discover it? I'm like, well, if Ben Franklin discovered it, why didn't he do anything to channel it? Why was it up to Thomas Edison like 100 years later or whatever?
He was busy banging fat chicks at the time. That's why.
Yeah. Yeah.
In France.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're not only were they fat, they had hairy armpits, too.
It's the gout that makes them sexier. You know? Well,
some of us would argue, well, wasn't electricity really, you know, invented by nature, i.e. lightning?
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's like, to harness it, though. And I guess that goes to my dad's argument of, well, you know, who discovered it? I'm like, well, we're not saying anybody necessarily did, but, I mean, discovery / harnessing. I guess you would call this electricity. So electricity, we salute you. You abstract thing, you get. we give the Dundee Award 13 votes to electricity. This is as abstract as the time that I inducted into the Pantheon within the Pantheon Best Continent for North America. That was the time when I first realized, you know what? we're really kind of getting, you know, we're slicing it thin on these geographic things here. I keep looking for new geographic categories. I think we're officially done once I'm down to best continent. We've done all there is to do on that. But entertainment-wise...
Coolest third moon of an exo-galaxy planet system.
Oh. That would be the first one for which I got no votes. They were like, what the hell is that, man? Not least of which me. That's what I would be saying. But in terms of...
Yeah, talk on the mic, for God's sake.
I would be a smartass and put the second one.
Yeah. In terms of for entertainment value here, we go from... This is not going to be a smooth transition. It couldn't possibly be. Scientific Discovery to Saturday Night Live regular.
Thank you to the new Pantheon inductee, Electricity. We are able to watch this great show called Saturday Night Live.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. It's all thanks to Electricity and Lorne Michaels. But this is one where we did have significant clumping, I think more so than any other category amongst several... Several strong candidates here in the mix. There were only a handful of candidates that only got one vote. There was one vote. Nate Noy voted for Dana Carvey. Samantha Jones voted for Mike Myers. Tim Faust voted for Eddie Murphy. Bob Glassman voted for Vanessa Beyer, which...
All right.
Kind of, yeah.
That's a Bob Glassman vote.
Yeah, I don't try to think too hard on some of his sometimes to find a rationale. Dave Adams voting for Alec Baldwin, who, correct me if I'm wrong, people, but hasn't he just been a guest host a bunch of times?
Yes.
Okay. Never a regular. Okay. Well, whatever. It's not like he won anyways. The last of the singular votes went to you, Tony, with Norm MacDonald.
Yes, I love Norm. I've seen him a couple of times live, so I'm a little biased with that, but I loved his Weekend Update because nowadays, it's just they're basically doing The Daily Show.
Right.
That's all Weekend Update is now. I never liked Tina Fey. I thought Jimmy Fallon was completely out of his league to do that. Kevin Nealon wasn't bad. I think what Norm did that I loved was he took what Dennis Miller did and did it himself.
Right.
And nobody's themselves with that. Norm would be one of these. He's smoking a cigarette on the set. Or he'd be like, well, let's... What camera am I supposed to look at? Oh, this one? Oh, why don't you guys tell me over here? And then, of course, they would come up with Norm bits, and he would be the one that would say the one where it's after O.J. got off and said, murder is now legal in the state of California. There were some other, like, really good ones. And, of course, NBC hated him because didn't play along with the typical agenda that they have going
there.
So, but I was a big fan of Norm MacDonald, and anytime you hear his voice, and especially in the KFC commercials, which it's just makes me smile every time.
I love the KFC commercials.
I love it. I
so many people hate them, and the ones before Norm which who did those?
Daryl Hammond.
Yeah, Daryl Hammond did them. I like those too, and people say, yeah, but they're so creepy, weird. I go, that's why they're great.
Yeah, because no one's going to KFC anymore. They're not a sponsor, are they?
No.
Not anymore.
That's right.
Well, I'm not.
Wait. We're sticking up for them. We love it.
Exactly. I'm not going there anymore. Hashtag celiac disease. So, you know, it is what it is. Yeah. But I'll tell you this, though. That's one of those things. Another one of the members of our crew, Russ Cohen, I remember him bitching about the Daryl Hammond thing. That he was complaining about this on Facebook. He was just like, this is creepy. They're having him do a pedophile voice. Why are they having him do a pedophile voice in a commercial?
Well, so what is a pedophile voice?
I don't. Well, what did Jared from Subway sound like?
I was going to say Jerry Sandusky with Bob Costas. Remember that?
Yeah.
Did I sexually molest those boys? Sexually molest? I like young people.
Not in that way.
Or you could do the Elmo impression, too. That's another one.
Yeah.
We just go across the gambit.
Well, yeah, whatever it was making Russ think of that, and it was making him very, very uncomfortable. So that gets through all the ones with one vote. Daryl Hammond, not somebody who, by the way, who got a vote, but who I think you could make a very good case for somebody that should have been represented. I mean, for as deep as their roster is, there's a lot of people who should have been
Rocket.
Represented. Yeah. Yeah.
There's so many one-and-done people.
There's a lot of names. Yeah,
Gilbert Gottfried was on there.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. Past Lounge guest Gilbert Gottfried on that list. I was reading a thing the other day about his 1 year on there, and I think he did a thing with AV Club where he was talking about it, and it was pretty interesting.
We met Gilbert Gottfried.
Nice.
Yeah, got a chance to see him live. We were in Pittsburgh, and Wow, was that his? I'll plug for his podcast. It's one of the best.
Yeah, what's the name of it again?
Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast.
Okay. I was really happy. It was my Walter Mitty moment in life. When he was on the show, he was plugging his book. And toward the end, you know, I had him give his plug. And everyone should go get Rubber Balls and Liquor. I was like, absolutely. Everybody should also get the book, Gilbert. And then that made him pop. And I was just like, I can there die now, man. I got a laugh out of Gilbert Gottfried. And it wasn't a pity laugh. That was my moment in life. But as we go through the list here, two votes for Chris Farley, and they are from the Patron brothers. So in whatever
not
order,
surprised.
Guys.
Well, the thing I like about Chris Farley, and while the microphones were off, I kind of made everybody laugh with the fact that, okay, well, that was my thing with Chris Farley. Chris Farley had no shame. You know, anything for a laugh, anything to make people happy, anything to make people, you know, have a good time. I mean, he didn't care. He was falling through tables, jumping up and down, declaring himself the big fat guy. You know, who cares? You take what you got and you run with it. And that's what Chris Farley did.
And okay. how many people go around saying his liners? Like, fat guy, little jacket.
Mm-hmm.
They're all over the place. Everybody remembers him. Saturday Night Live even did their own best of Chris Farley.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting is the next vote on here, going up the list, there are three guys that voted for somebody that kind of felt like it was maybe the prototype of that kind of thing with John Belushi. So Belushi was doing a lot of that kind of stuff in the late 70s. He got three votes. There were four votes for Phil Hartman, myself among them, and I was heartened to see him do well. He did very well in the balloting that they did at Grantland. I was kind of surprised. He was a finalist, and he was a finalist to the eventual winner in that one there. But
now, you know, Phil Hartman was one of them who put together with Paul Rubens the Pee Wee Herman character.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah,
okay.
They were co-writers with creating this character, I believe, with the Groundlings back in L.A., and they created what we know as Pee Wee Herman, and I think he had a cameo in Pee Wee's Big Adventure. And
okay.
So, but yeah, Phil Hartman did a lot for the business, and of course, he just ended up. It was his third wife, was the psycho who.
Yeah.
Apparently, got introduced to or reintroduced to some of the smack by Andy Dick.
Yeah, and then he was bragging about that to John Lovitz, who beat the crap out of him.
John Lovitz kicked the shit out of him. It was,
Thank you, John Lovitz.
That's the ticket.
Well, and this is the interesting thing here, that when you're looking at what the criteria is, because if you're talking about the Chris Farley thing of do one thing, do it well, whatever, clearly that was a big criteria for these guys. For me, exact opposite. Phil Hartman was a guy that you could just, I mean, he had about the widest range of anybody maybe in the history of the show, and that's the thing that he's kind of renowned for, that you could put him in any kind of a thing here. He's doing a Sinatra thing. He's doing the Unfrozen Caveman Lawyer, all these kinds of things. And to me, and I'm assuming to the other three people who voted for Phil Hartman, that was probably a very important criteria. Yeah. So it's interesting, Chris, how this is another one of these categories you can look at a number of ways.
Well, and Phil Hartman, for me, it came down to Will Ferrell and Phil Hartman. I view Farley and Belushi as sort of an extension, that Farley's an extension of Belushi. Almost like, I'm not going to say one guy and insult them, but, you know, Chris certainly took that mantle over in terms of how he played characters and his role on Saturday Night Live. Phil Hartman was fantastic for the show because of his range and the types of characters that he did and the writing. You know, he was a, you know, comedic genius. And, you know, I struggled back and forth. And I ended up giving the nod to the winner, Will Ferrell, only because of longevity, and maybe that's not somewhat fair, but also because, also range. Will Ferrell had a lot of range in terms of some of the characters that he's done, you know, George W. Bush, more cowbell. I mean, there have been so many great Will Ferrell moments on Saturday Night Live, equal to Phil in every way.
Mm-hmm.
And lastly, the thing that tipped it for me, and I kept going back and forth and back and forth between the two, what tipped it for me was, and I took the post-Saturday Night Live career and their body of work and considered that as sort of my tiebreaker.
Okay.
In terms of, you know, their overall career. And Hartman had a great career within Saturday Night Live and had some great moments in some movies, but Will Ferrell obviously has, you know, become an icon in terms of some of his movie roles and characters that he's done.
Right.
You know, Talladega Nights. I mean, you can go on and on and on.
Step Brothers.
One of my favorite movies that gets very little mention from him is...
I agree.
Is,
I thought you were going to say Step Brothers.
No, it's not. Is Stranger Than Fiction.
I haven't seen
which
that.
Which I love that movie. And it's such a non-typical Will Ferrell character that he plays. And I thought he's actually brilliant in that movie. But anyway, that's what gave me... That's what tipped the scales for me was what did SNL launch into? What did it launch into you outside of SNL in terms of your career and some of the things that you've done? And that's where I gave the edge to Will.
Well, and you were the tiebreaker. 5 votes for Will Ferrell versus 4 for Phil Hartman. Nobody else here at the table voted for Will Ferrell, so we're all kind of spoken for on that one. But it's an interesting conundrum. And, Tony, as a big comedy guy yourself, I'm sure you're interested to see, as I am, I was kind of surprised that when Grantland did their thing, that it came down to Ferrell and Hartman. Yeah. Like I said, I expected Hartman to be too underappreciated, and he made it to the end. We end up with the same two finalists here. It's really interesting that, though, you know, apparently, you know, you can survey like a lot of people off the street, and these might be the first two names they come up with.
Yeah, I'm a little different because I thought Will Ferrell on Saturday Night Live was brilliant. He was brilliant. And just a lot of those characters. And then he ended up going into some of the movies, and he just played bit parts. And then I think he co-starred, was it Night at the Roxbury?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really do much until Old School. And then after that, I just hate Will Ferrell now.
Even Step Brothers?
All of those movies. Every single one. The only movie that I actually liked that he was a part of was a cameo in Wedding Crashers.
Okay.
That was about it. Everything
he was
else
great in
done,
that,
like,
yeah.
What's the...
God, that's a great
Meatloaf!
What's that garbage movie that him and Kevin Hart just came out with where it's...
Oh.
Yeah, Get Hart. Yeah. That was it. And that's where I always look to, like, it's the same as the Adam Sandler criteria, which I'm surprised we didn't get any votes for that because I thought Adam Sandler was brilliant on SNL. But then since 2000, probably, all these movies are just, in my opinion, they're terrible. And they're always getting bad reviews. But I always have to separate Adam Sandler and Will Ferrell on SNL from the movie career after
and
that.
And here's what's so funny about that you mentioned that. I'm glad you triggered this memory here. Because a note that I got from FDH Director of Research, Nate Noy, when he was voting for Dana Carvey, he very petulantly said, I know everybody's going to vote for Sandler, and he's going to win in a landslide, but I'm voting for Dana Carvey. Adam Sandler did not get one vote.
Didn't get one.
Yeah.
I was actually thinking of Dana Carvey, too, because he had so many of those great characters. Like, and we mentioned Daryl Hammond was kind of like the heir apparent.
Right.
The reason I'm not an SNL guy anymore, not because I haven't it was working on Saturday nights for a while, and I couldn't watch it, but... It seemed like they abandoned, we talk about the great characters, these were guys who did stand-up, too.
Right.
And they may not have been the greatest actors, but stand-up comedians have really good timing.
Mm-hmm.
And you learn that over time, and but it's also inherent. Guys like Will Ferrell and subsequently in the 2000s, they got a bunch of just improv actors.
Right.
So they can act, but they don't really have the comedy timing, and it's just... People laugh because it's Saturday Night Live. You're supposed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
This is Americana. This is a staple. And I'm just not a huge fan of the show. And I guess, and this is a testament to Jimmy Fallon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a big fan of Jimmy Fallon either. But there's better stuff on a nightly basis on Fallon's show than there is on a weekly basis on SNL, in my opinion.
You're probably right.
Well, I got to say, that's where the big cutoff comes. Because if you look at this list, I had this conversation with Rick shortly after it came out. There's nobody. I mean, if you look at the great names that are on this list from years past, and maybe that goes along with your comedy thing, there's just nobody that stands out anymore. I mean, if you watch the show, and I have watched the show recently, it's a chuckle here, maybe a laugh there, but there's not much to
it. Amy Poehler, Tina Fey, and Kristen Wiig are the only ones who've done anything from SNL in the past 10 years. Oh, Andy Samberg, too, which...
Yeah,
I mean, really, you're just watering down the product now.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, pretty much.
Andy Samberg and that Brooklyn Nine-Nine show that no one has ever watched, yet it wins every Emmy.
I enjoy it. I'm like behind on watching it, but I do enjoy it. I like Chelsea Peretti. It's a funny cast. But, yeah, I mean, I'd be a little bit of a hypocrite to put it over too much because, like I said, I'm behind on watching it myself. But, yeah, there were no votes here for Samberg. Really, again, outside of Vanessa Beyer for Bob Glassman, no votes for anyone that contemporary. So, an interesting...
No Ellen Cleghorn votes?
Fred Armiston?
No, yeah, none for either of them. Although, Fred Armiston, for as much as I love Portlandia, he should get some love for that, if nothing else. But, yeah, this is...
Nothing for our distinguished senator from Minnesota.
Nothing for Al Franken. He did not...
Jack Handy.
...get anything. I'm trying to think of who else that was surprising is not represented here. It's maybe surprising Eddie Murphy only got one vote, I guess. You know what's funny? No votes for Chevy Chase, who was the megastar breakout of the first season or so until he got, you know, completely into his own ego, coke, etc., and headed out for what he thought were bigger and better things. But
he kind of did pretty well. Okay. I mean, he can't really throw, you know.
That's the peak of his career, though, is like that first year or two, you know? I mean, that's, isn't it?
That until probably the first Vacation movie after
maybe.
That. And then the Chevy Chase, Dan Aykroyd, a lot of those guys really came out with a lot of garbage since then.
Yeah, no votes for Aykroyd. It's interesting when
Jane
you look
Curtin
at this
didn't
here.
Get any. Lorraine Newman.
There's some that you know are going to be underappreciated. Like, I was glad to see that big outpouring when Jan Hooks passed away because, like, that's another one. Like, I thought she was a lot like Hartman as far as being one of these glue characters that could do a lot of kind of stuff. But
she absolutely was.
Yeah, but you wouldn't expect her to get votes on this because this is not best underappreciated. Maybe that would be a good category, best underappreciated Saturday Night Live character.
Rob Schneider.
There'd be a lot of debate on that one, I think.
There would be. There would be. Jan Hooks would be a prime candidate for that one, maybe somebody I would vote for. But on this one here, again, it came down to Farrell and Hartman the same way that it did with... The one that was done by Grantland, and it came out the same way. Will Ferrell is the winner. We raised the Dundee Award and inducted him in the Pantheon. Best Saturday Night Live regular.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.